And welcome back. This is Michael Willis with the United States of Soccer. I am joined by Russ Goldman from Cottage Talk. You can go find him on all your podcasting platforms at Cottage Talk. Also go find him on Twitter at Cottage Talk and go find Russ's personal account at Russ_Goldman. Russ, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. I just told you that a minute ago, but really appreciate you coming on. This is going to be awesome. You got a lot going on with Fulham right now.
Thank you. I'm happy to speak about Fulham, and I appreciate you having me on, Michael.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Before we get into it, why Fulham for you? Was it just Brian McBride and all them, Clint Dempsey and all them? Or was just how did you become a Fulham fan?
It's probably the question I'm asked most is why Fulham? Even to this day, like I said, you're asking me today, but I'm asking a lot that question. And the easy answer is Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey used to play for the New England Revolution. And I was actually looking for a club to support. It's interesting. I started with Manchester United, and that didn't seem like a good fit for me. And then, believe it or not, I thought I would start watching a little Chelsea. My father grew up in Chelsea, Massachusetts. So I'm like, okay, let's try Chelsea, right? That didn't take. And one day I was listening to a show on Sirius XM FC, and they were basically saying, you just need to find a club that fits you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be one of the top clubs. Find one that fits your personality. So what I ended up doing was when Clint decided to go to Fulham, I checked them out. And that first season, I watched a little bit. It was the following season, which we call the Great Escape, where Fulham found a way to stay in the Premier League that hooked me in, Michael. It completely hooked me in. On top of it, I'm a fan of the New England Patriots, and I was dealing with them losing in the Super Bowl to the Giants. So I literally threw myself into Fulham. And what did I throw myself into? A relegation battle. And
you ain't kidding.
So I was a glutton for punishment, but I was rewarded tremendously because I fell in love with Fulham Football Club. And I always tell people that Clint Dempsey brought me to Fulham, but that's not what has kept me there.
Yeah. My grandmother, I became a Chelsea fan because of my grandmother. There was an option though. She traveled a lot. She was a nurse. She loved the western side of London. And when I was trying to find my team, and I went to my grandma and said, whatever place you like, I know you love England, whatever place, that's where, I don't care if it's Plymouth, I don't care where it's at. And she told me that it was, she picked out this spot on the map. And when I searched it up, I mean, it was Chelsea and Fulham right in the middle. So I had the option, right? But I went the other way because I'm a Detroit Lions fan. And I said, I've dealt with enough punishment in my life. I'm ready to find some success. So I went over that way. I enjoy the story because I think there's a lot of Americans when they get into the sport, they think they have to go top six. You absolutely do not. Find a team, take a year because it's a lot. The sport over there in England especially is so much when you're just coming from football or basketball or baseball or something. So take a year, find a team that really suits you. Don't just jump on the Chelsea bandwagon. Fulham is an awesome club. A lot of history. The Cottage over there at Fulham is an awesome place. I eventually will be going over there a couple years from now, but I cannot wait to go see. That's one of the clubs I want to stop by and see. Let's get into this Fulham though. This past season, pretty awesome season for you guys with all things considered. Let's talk about things above the club. Confidence going into this coming season and this with this ownership, the cons, they seem to have a lot of money. You see what the Jaguars are doing down south. They're trying to build Jaguar Nation down there. Marco Silva, good manager, very good manager, proven in the Premier League. What's your confidence level at this ownership and at this head coach?
It's interesting. I literally just did a show about 3 hours ago talking about the uncertainty with Fulham Football Club right now. And it's not that there's a doubt with me with Marco Silva, with the cons, and I also threw in Mitrovic, which I'm sure we'll talk about. It's that, unfortunately, right now, we are a week away from the Premier League Summer Series, and Fulham have not made a signing. So let's just put it to you this way. It has upped the nervousness amongst all Fulham supporters of what is going on. Because what you want from Fulham Football Club is not to survive in the Premier League. You want them to thrive in the Premier League. And how do you do that, Michael? You build. You don't replace. So what's going on right now for me, I've been on this kick on my podcast talking about I don't want to be in the replacement business. I want to be in the building business. And I know that we're going to talk a little bit about teams that have survived in the replacement business you could talk about Brighton. We'll talk, I'm sure you'll ask me about that in a little bit. I don't want Fulham to be Brighton. I want Fulham to kick on. As you mentioned, the Khan ownership, listen, the learning curve, it's been 10 years this year, was tremendous. It was a huge learning curve. They got relegated after their first season because, honestly, I think that this curve was massive, and I think they learned a lot, but they paid the price for it. It took several years for them to really understand the English game, and once they did, they slowly figured out how to build Fulham up to where they are now. They had some ups and downs. Obviously, the label of being a yo-yo club, I hope, has left, but there will always be those concerns because of the size of Fulham Football Club next to, say, Chelsea, which is a mile away, and the size of Craven Cottage, once it's completely finished with the Riverside Stand, is going to be about 30,000. Look at that compared to Stamford Bridge. It's a massive difference. So they're always going to be dealing with ways to bring up revenue to compete against the Chelseas of the world. It's very hard. But you just mentioned the ownership. I believe that they are committed for Fulham, not just, like I mentioned, to just be in the Premier League, but to try to compete in the Premier League with the Chelseas of the world. I think that's their ultimate goal. And for me, I think they're going to try to find a way. I think that's why the building of this new stand was so vital for them, because I think they're trying to find for new revenue streams for Fulham Football Club to try to compete with Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, Man City, Manchester United. It's very difficult, but they need to be creative in their business compared to the other clubs like Chelsea. But I have faith that the Cons can do this. I back them on this. There has been, like I mentioned on my podcast, a little bit of a roller coaster ride over the 10 years. But I think for the most part, they figured it out. And I have confidence, even though there have been zero signings right now, Michael, and there's all this controversy going on with them right now, I'm going to wait till the dust settles. And I've gone on my podcast and said, you know what? Fulham are going to build the club that will contend for Europe this season. I'm not changing my mind on this. I've seen all the speculation with targets. The targets that they have is an upgrade on the club, the players that they currently have. They are looking for upgrades everywhere. So I am confident that they can do it, but right now they've done nothing. And that leads to what we're talking about right now on Cottage Talk and other shows, is this uncertainty, because the season's about to come up. And then, of course, we have the window, which will close at the end of the summer, but still, they've done nothing yet. And it's been it really is kind of just disappointing right now, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to do what I think that they're going to do, because I know they have the desire to do it. They have a fantastic manager. I think they have very good owners, and I think that they will have a very competitive squad.
You brought that up. You said the word a bunch, yo-yo club, which is what I considered Fulham to be for a good while. How do you break away? How do you think Fulham is to break away from that? There was this mold. You saw it with Southampton just this year. Southampton used to be a club that would buy low-level talent and I don't want to say low-level talent, buy cheap talent and nurture them and bring them up. And it just seemed that eventually that kind of catches up to you, because there's no main piece to that club anymore. When you sell off these big players and you don't replenish the squad, or you replenish them with younger talent, sometimes that talent doesn't come through. And that's why I thought Fulham were going down last year. I could not believe the rise that Fulham took. And a lot of that's Mitrovic, which we'll talk about in a minute here. But how do Fulham go about, with this ownership and Marco Silva, how do they go about building, what's the right word here, a firm unit of first team guys, and not these guys that they're going to sell off and then try to go replenish with young talent? How do you build a good core? How do you build a good core to go forward here?
Well, the first thing is to keep your core. Yeah. And I think that is the main key. And I've talked to a podcaster who covers Wolves, and he told me, he said, Russ, the key for you will be to not do what Wolves did. What Wolves did is they sold Jota. It's like, you can't do that. At the time, you're thinking, well, the money's great, we can reinvest that, but eventually it's going to come back to bite you. I look at Brighton, and Brighton is getting praised left and right. I don't want Fulham to be Brighton, because I think eventually they're not going to be able to replace the McAllisters, the Caicedos, these players. They're not going to be able to do it over a long period of time. Southampton did it for about 10 years, but I think eventually it will come back to bite you. And also talks about, Michael, what is your ambition? Do you truly want to compete against the top clubs? Well, then you have to be a building club and not a replacing club. So that's been my moniker on this. Fulham need to keep their core as much as they can and then build on it and then find better upgrades to what they currently have. And that to me is the key. And I'll tell you right now, they re-signed Anthony Robinson, and that to me is a core player. That was a great move.
Yeah.
But now you have the situation with Mitro. There are teams just salivating after Paulinho. And these are concerns, but I've been steadfast in my podcast saying, no, I don't care what the money is. The player is more valuable than the money you're going to get, Michael. That's just the way I look at it.
Agreed.
And I've been on this really this kick right now that because, again, it sounds like the Saudis are going in big time on Mitro to the point where Mitro, the reports are he wants to go. So what do you do if you're Fulham Football Club? Do you let him go and just say, you know what, we'll just take the money and we'll replace him with the money? Do you do that? Or do you say you're not for sale? And so far, they have taken the stance not for sale. And that's the way it should be, Michael. Even though, love Mitro, 3 years left on his deal, Michael. If he's in the final year, like a Harry Kane, I get it. If it's like Harry Kane, I get it.
You control
three years. Fulham. You don't have to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, Fulham controls all the power here because they have
They have the leverage, Michael. They have the
all of it. So I'm right there with you on that Mitro one, right? But let's before we get into the possible sale, legend of Fulham, is that safe to say? I mean, bagging goals in the championship. Is he legend status yet, or is he just right there on the cusp?
Oh, no, I would say he's legend status. And it's funny because I actually have the all-time top goal scorer who's actually been on my show several times, Gordon Davis, who played in the 80s.
That's awesome.
And he's just waiting for the day that Mitro breaks his record, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But Mitro has offered Fulham a great deal. And he is a legend for everything that he's done. However, I've looked at it this way when it comes to Mitro, that for all the good that he's done, for everything that he's done, Fulham come first. Mitro does not come first. If you sell Mitro, Mitro comes first. Mm-hmm. Fulham have to come first. They have to put the club first. And the argument that I've always gotten on the other side of this, well, I don't want a player that doesn't want to play for Fulham Football Club. I don't. I hear that all the time, Michael.
Yeah.
And my argument is I get that, but if he's a professional, he'll play for Fulham Football Club.
Agreed.
And that's the way I look at it. And I was asked, would I go if I was him, if I was offered a crazy amount of money from Saudi Arabia? And the way I look at it is, if the money was that crazy, I would look at it, I would consider it, and I would do what he probably did, go to the club and say, listen, I'm being offered this. Can you match it? Can you come close? If you can't, I would really like to go. Can you accept their offer? And if the club said no, I would accept that because I signed the contract. And I can't get past signing the contract.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of this time that comes up with all sports, whatever sport you're watching. You know, there's a lot of these contract talks of guys trying to leave. And a lot of this comes up because of money or There's sometimes where it's a personal thing that they don't want to be in that city or something like that. But for the most part, it's a money thing. And if I'm Mitrovic and I go to Fulham and I say, hey, I'm getting offered generational wealth. Can you raise your funds or can you sell me? If Fulham come back and say this, I like to compare it to this. You see where Crystal Palace are at. There was a time where Palace were saying that if you want Wilf Zaha, you got to pay up 80 mil. And everyone laughed at that. And I'm sat back and I said, no, if I'm Crystal Palace, I'm the exact same way. He means way more. To Crystal Palace, then that 80 mil will ever come around. You see the same thing with Aston Villa and Jack Grealish. That 100 mil is going very far for Jack Grealish, and he's looking like a good player now. But if I'm Fulham, I'm absolutely. If you want Mitrovic, you're paying $100 million because that is how I think. Is he the most important person to this as a player? Is he the most important player to this club so right now?
No, he's not. The Who most is? Important player would be João Paulinho.
Okay.
Basically, everything is built around him. Okay, so João Paulinho is a defensive midfielder, a tackling machine, Michael, a player that I've never seen like this before. And you take the good with the bad with João Paulinho, because he gets a lot of yellow cards, but I don't care, honestly. It's what he offers Fulham Football Club, because they really have built around him. Then it allows the players up front to do what they need to do. He is the protection for that back four. He has really allowed Tim Ream to be Tim Ream. He has tremendously helped Tim Ream. Okay, Tim Ream has had basically another life at Fulham, and I think Paulinho has a part to do with this. So he is vital to everything that they do. There is an amount of money for me that I would accept for Paulinho. They actually, it's reported that they put 90 million pounds as the number that they would want. But for me, there isn't a number. The player's more valuable than the money. And it's funny because I go back and forth with this West Ham supporter that thinks that I'm crazy that he wouldn't want to play in the Europa League over staying with Fulham. And I'm laughing because you realize that he came from playing in Europe to play with Fulham. Exactly. He was with Sporting, and he played in Europe and decided to come to Fulham. That should tell you all that you need to know. Plus, João Paulinho, I believe, came because of Marco Silva. Marco Silva is so much to do with a lot of Fulham's success. It's so intertwined. It's, like I said on my show just today, it's about Silva, the cons, and then I also put Mitro as the triumvirate. But for me, Silva really has enhanced so many of these players. He's enhanced Mitro. He's enhanced Paulinho. Harrison Reed is a different player in central midfield because I believe of Silva's influence. There's it. The manager that Fulham have right now is just tremendous. And he is, the way that I look at a manager, does a manager make the player better? And this is a huge example of one that does. We were in the championship. He was, when he came in, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, Tim Ream's a different player. I know we talked about Paulinho, but he was a different player in the championship. There was a player that just left, Niskens Cabano, who could barely get a look in. All of a sudden, under Silva, he's starting. And there was player after player that I could tell you that this happened to. And it's the influence of the coaching staff with Marco Silva and his entire staff. They have raised not only how Fulham play, but he's made average players good players and good players great. That's to me, that is the moniker of a good coach.
Yeah, that's spot on. Paulinho, you know, something really funny as I saw on Twitter, and which take it for what you will. I saw there's a lot of Chelsea fans that are like, you know, we need a DM right now, and Declan Rice is gone. And they said, just go over to Fulham and offer him 50 mil. And I was like, you guys are absolute idiots. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. I saw the West Ham link, by the way, of, since you lost Declan Rice, just go get Paulinho. And I'm like, Fulham's not selling Paulinho to you at all. If Paulinho's there, signing a last season, I mean, he was so good. This guy was this was, as a neutral, I was literally going to watch Fulham because I thought I also rate Mitro high. I like Mitrovic. I like Tete out in that right back. And I love this Paulinho kid, man. He is awesome to watch. He is a top class player, top class player. And I don't know how you, let me get your thoughts on this. There are, with all the people that are saying, just go buy, you know, go spend, you know, for 40 and 50 million is such chump change now in the Premier League for what that monster is becoming that that's just not the way it works anymore. How do you see that? One, is Paulinho the signing of last year for you? And then two, do you see this Premier League and way it's going? We can't just offer 20 and 25 mil, which is wild to say. You can't just offer that anymore for these Fulhams, for your Brightons, for your Palaces. Their players they have, you're going to want significant funds for them, right?
Absolutely. And it's funny because now I've seen that Liverpool could be interested in Paulinho and they're saying 50 million. I'm like, you're joking, right? You think that he's going to go to you for 50 million? You think Fulham are going to basically give you their best player? And oh, by the way, Fulham just had two of their young academy players go to Liverpool. One is now going out on loan. This has really upset me in Fabio Carvalho. I think Fabio Carvalho has a chance to be a tremendous player, and because he went to Liverpool and they have this so many players that come through in midfield, he's never, in my opinion, going to play at Liverpool, and I understand why he went there. Apparently, it's coming out that he was a Liverpool supporter growing up. And then you have Harvey Elliott, again, a former Fulham Academy player that was a friend of his. So you got two friends that go play at Liverpool. Elliott's playing more now, but it took him a while. And now you have Carvalho going on loan. So if I'm Fulham, there's no way I'm selling another flipping player to Liverpool. That's how I feel. I'm a little vindictive like that. I wouldn't sell any players to Tottenham. I wouldn't sell any players to Liverpool right now.
That's right. I don't doubt that at all. You know, it's funny. Before you and I got on, I was talking to Galley from the American Scousers podcast, and I brought up Harvey Elliott, and I was like, how do you feel Harvey Elliott's going to, you know, is he going to take this jump forward? And he goes, no, I don't. I think it was a weird move to come to Fulham. I mean, weird move to come from Fulham. We don't have enough spots for him right now. And you're spot on. Why would Paulinho go over there and possibly get phased out when he could be so great at Fulham right now? It's an interesting time. Let me go back to this Mitrovic thing, right? If he goes, right now you guys have not signed anybody. You sold Manor Solomon over to Tottenham. If Mitrovic goes, you don't have anybody. Vinicius is not the replacement there for him. There's no one out there that you guys are really looking at as a Mitrovic replacement. No. This would be such a damaging thing for this club. Yeah.
It would be. It's fine. That's why, you know, and I'm sure that they would find a striker. I've seen all the suggestions of strikers around Europe, and I'm sure they would. But again, this goes back to, why would you put yourself in this hole right now? Why would you do this? Because a player wants to move. He's under contract. So if it does come to that, I think it's really going to be hard for Fulham to recover from it, and it could be damaging. Like I said, I don't want Fulham to go into the season thinking that we're going to be in another relegation battle. I want them to be kicking on. So it's hard to do that if you're going to let Mitro or Paulinho go. Key players. You even mentioned Kenny Tete. That's a player that they have to hold on as well. Very valuable right back, underrated right back.
Underrated.
That you just have to hold on. But I will tell you a player that I desperately want Fulham to get. And all there's been speculation on this, and I've been back and forth with a few people on this, but it really might come down to AC Milan and Fulham, and that is Yunus Musah. I want Yunus Musah in the worst way, my friend. I want Yunus Musah to slot into play with Paulinho. I think it would be a perfect fit, and we'll see if that ends up happening. But I know that Fulham are very interested in Yunus Musah, and I thought that he would be out of their range. I thought he'd be more of a top six talent, but apparently they're not. He's not getting that kind of interest. He's getting interest in Italy, and he's getting interest from Fulham, and I believe West Ham, because obviously they now have the Declan Rice money. Yeah. But if I'm Musa, I guess they could sell. West Ham could sell him on the Europa League, but I would sell Musa on who he's going to be playing with. He'd be playing with Paulinho. That's what I would be doing. And that you'd have a chance to really kick on. And oh, by the way, your friend Anthony Robinson's here, and Tim Ream's here. So that's what I would be trying to sell him on.
I see a lot of West Ham fans and Fulham fans that are after the same targets. And there's a lot of West Ham fans go, you'd rather come to West Ham. I'm like, I'm not so sure. This West Ham finished below Fulham, and they had an awful season last year. And it's Declan Rice is now gone, pivotal for that team. I think it's just going to get a little bit worse over at West Ham right now. I'm picking Fulham all day long, especially if they keep Mitro. And we brought up a minute ago these cores. Who do you think these guys at Fulham, the absolute core, is Tim Ream one of those guys, or does he need replaced?
Tim Ream does need to be replaced, but I still want Tim Ream to be part of Fulham Football Club, because Tim Ream, it's been at Fulham for such a long period of time, Michael, and he's really just gotten better and better. It's funny, he's like a fine wine. He's actually gotten better. The problem that you have with Tim Ream is that every once in a while you will see his age. He can hide it really well, and I'm telling you, Paulinho does a good job of covering for him to hide the weaknesses and play to his strengths. He reads the game so well. It's almost like I can't believe I'm going to bring this up because I'm a Patriots fan. But it's almost like Tom Brady, where his mind is ahead of his body. That's Tim Ream right now. He reads it so well that he makes up for his lack of athletic ability this late in his career. You know, if I'm a team, I target Tim Ream athletically.
For sure.
But the thing about it is he has the ability mentally to kind of make up for it. And that's what makes him special. But if Fulham truly want to kick on, they need probably two center backs this window. And nothing against Tim Ream, but I hope that Tim Ream is not starting for Fulham Football Club, because I think they need to start phasing him out. Can he start? I think he can, but I'm hoping that they start moving on from him, because his shelf life is getting shorter and shorter. But he has been tremendous, Michael, and he had a tremendous season last year.
Yes, he did.
And I know he probably wants one more crack at a World Cup, and I don't blame him. I just don't know if he'll have enough to do it. But I'm a big fan of Tim Ream, but he does need to be replaced. It's an age thing.
A couple weeks away from the season, I saw this, and correct me if I'm wrong, I saw that Fulham had sold a record number of season tickets this coming season. Some of that money's got to go back into the club. Why do you think a signing hasn't been made? I mean, we're talking about these needs that, maybe not needs that Fulham have, but definitely we need to replenish the squad, need to keep the core and keep going. Why do you think signings haven't been made?
It's a great question, and I'll just give you my opinion on this. Is I would say the reason why, it's a couple things, and I think Marco Silva is the reason for it, one of the reasons. Marco Silva's on the last year of his contract.
Oh,
Michael,
is he really?
So, yes, he is. So because of that, I think you could have players that are hesitant to sign with Fulham. Now, what's going on, a very interesting dynamic is, you're trying to re-sign Marco Silva because you want to sign players. He wants proof that they're going to invest, I believe. So he wants the signings. But guess what? It's a catch-22, because if you're a player, you want to know that Silva's going to be around. So I think they're in a very difficult spot right now. And I've said this for months. I said, I have a feeling this could really be an issue for them, because if he doesn't sign a new deal, talking about Silva, players might be reluctant to sign with him. Even if he says, you know what, I'm going to be here this year. They might be reluctant. So I think it's in Fulham's best interest that they do whatever they can to sign Marco Silva long-term. But he might be waiting until the players come in the door. And guess what, Michael? They're not coming in the door. That's number one. Number two, I will give this to the cons in a positive, is that they're good businessmen. And they're looking for the right deals. And Fulham are just notorious for making deals later on in the window, because that's when the prices get, you know, the prices go down, and then you can find good value. I can't believe I'm saying this from a Patriots fan, because that's what I'm used to with the Patriots. But it's almost a similar situation where they are looking for the good deal. And I think it's sometimes I wish they would just basically go above and beyond what they would normally do and just get the player. Yeah. But I think that's the difference. They are playing the chess game with getting the players in. The Silva situation isn't helping. And as you can imagine, the Fulham supporters are panicking because we are a week away from Philly. No new signings.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple weeks away from the brand new season, and nobody has come through the door. I mean, it's especially when you have such a good season last year. It's one of the times you're like, all right, let's build on this. Let's keep it going. This is finally a time where, you know, Fulham haven't gone immediately back down, and it's thinking, all right, let's get going here. It's an interesting one, man. If you're listening to this and you're not a Fulham fan, you need to check out a game this year. Pay attention to Kenny Tete down the right side. I think this guy is so dang good. He's a very good player. Pay attention to him. And coming into this new season, again, no signing has been made, so it's hard to gauge what this team's going to be. What do you think success for this team coming up this season is? It can't be just stay in the league this time, right?
It absolutely is not, and that's what also makes this hard. I think what success means for Fulham Football Club is not standing still and contending for Europe. They were 10th last season. They should be looking for 6th or 7th, honestly. That should be the goal. The goal should be better than where they are right now, contending for Europe. So, and the funny thing about it is you're going to have teams that are going to be better, like Chelsea will be better. You know Chelsea's going to be better. There are teams that were down last year that will be better. And right now, Fulham are not better. So, but that can change drastically with more than a few moves. It can change quickly. It just hasn't yet. But yeah. I truly believe that they're not going to allow this opportunity, Michael, to slip through their fingers. And they will make the signings that I think that they're going to make. The problem is, when are they going to do it?
Yeah.
Are they
yeah.
going to do it later in the window, which I think will get them behind the eight ball, and that could hurt them. So it's basically, it's a very hard situation. At this time last season, I believe they had already signed Pauline and Pereira. And then Manor Solomon was not far behind. Right now, it's nothing. So it's just hard. It's hard, but I'm a believer, man. I am a very optimistic person, and I think it's going to end well. I don't think it's going to end badly. It doesn't look like that because all the tea leaves say, Russ, you're wrong. Everything's going to go down the tubes because that's the way it's trending. But I think when we get to the end of this window, as I said on my show, I think I'm going to be proven right. I think they're going to sign the quality players that I'm looking for. I'm just wishing it was sooner than later, Michael.
Yeah, with that, you know, I think you're right. I mean, they have to sign somebody. Somebody has come to the door. Is there a concern here that when these signings happen, it's gone a little bit too late, and it's going to affect the start of the season and put you behind that ball?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's my concern. I don't doubt that they're not going to that they won't get quality players. I know that they're going to. It's just a matter of when, and if you leave it so late, you really can hurt yourself early in the season, because what Fulham did last season, Michael, they came out of the box strong. It's the first time in years I've seen them do this in the Premier League. They've done in the Championship, but in the Premier League, they came out really strong, and I think that was key to their success. So you're hurting yourself if you don't have the players to do it again.
First game of the season last year, 2-2 against Liverpool, I'm pretty sure. Loved it. If Fulham stayed where they're at right now as a complete neutral, there are 6-7 worse teams than Fulham for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But that's still not a place that Fulham want to be. I'm right there with you. I think if you're a Fulham fan, you've got to be looking up. You got to be looking to finish above 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, around there, 6th if you get some good signings in. But it is, man, it is weird, you know, to see that absolutely no one's come in the door yet. If anybody does come in the door, is there anybody, you said Musa, anybody else that you guys would, that Fulham fans would love to see? Is anybody else that you guys need, anybody you're linked to?
Yep. I'll give you two names. James Ward-Prowse, which I think would be a huge signing for Fulham Football Club, and Fred from Manchester United. You bring in one of those two or both, and everything changes. Just like I think Yunus Musa is a game changer. I think you bring in Yunus Musa, that takes Fulham to a different level. I think he's that good. I've watched him for the U.S. men's national team. I have a friend in Spain that has watched him for Valencia, and he told me it's not Valencia, Russ, it's Valencia. I didn't know that. So
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that. He's like, Russ, it's Valencia. I'm like, okay, it's Valencia. But he told me 3 months ago, because Russ, there's this U.S. men's national team player that I want Fulham to get, and he said it was Musa, because I don't know, he might be out of their price range. And he's actually not. He's in the price range of about £25 million. And that's in their price range. So I think, you know, I think this would be good for Musa, but I've heard from a few people that say he has his heart set on AC Milan and that Fulham are his backup plan. But we'll see how it all plays out.
I don't love that. I think there's as a Chelsea fan, I've seen a lot of my players go over to AC Milan. I think that there's a logjam in that midfield for Musa. Yep. I would love to see him over at Fulham. I love that James Ward-Prowse shout. I think he'd be one definitely to watch in a much better side with a actual number six behind him in Polina. Yep. That would be a lot of fun. I hope that one. I don't know if he's leaving Southampton or not, but that one would be a whole hell of a lot of fun. Looking into next year, what is success looking like for Fulham? Like, what do we think that, where do you, I know it's early days, where do you think that Fulham is going to finish around? Do you think you're going to be competing for a trophy here or there? What do you think this Fulham team is going to look like come May of next year?
Okay, if I'm projecting it, and it sounds kind of silly where Fulham are right now, not having a signing, but I'm going to project that they're going to end around 7th. I don't think they're going to win anything, but I think that they will potentially get close to Europe. That's where I think they're going to end up. And along with that, Michael, you're not going to like this, but a success for Fulham is beating Chelsea, and they already did that last year. So if they do that again, that's a success. That's Trust me when I tell you, that's a success.
If I have to watch Vinicius score against Chelsea one more time, I don't think I'll be talking to you anymore. But I could. So, yes, absolutely. I think I've got Fulham. I really hope that Fulham stay up. I mean, like I said, Fulham are going to stay up. I think Fulham are going to kick on. I do have a positive feeling about Fulham because I rate Marco Silva. I think your defense is actually a good defense. Anthony Robinson, I wasn't sure about going into last year. I just felt he did.
I can talk a little bit about him if
you'd
like.
Go ahead, please. Absolutely.
Okay, so I have this little bit of love-hate relationship with Anthony Robinson because when he was in the championship, I saw a player that was not the finished article, okay? Anthony Robinson, still to this day, is not a good crosser of the ball. If you watch him, he just can't cross the ball. He is full of athletic ability, full of it, and full of potential. So when I watched him in the championship, I was thinking coming into last season, you know what? We need an upgrade over Anthony Robinson. And that first match against Liverpool, when he really did a nice job on Mo Salah, I said, okay, something's different. He's worked on his defense, and he's still going forward. The crossing still sucks, but he's getting better. And it continued throughout the year. And the best compliment I can give you on Jedi, Anthony Robinson, is that when he was out of the lineup, Fulham actually struggled. They really struggled. They brought in, against Tottenham, I'll never forget this, they brought in Kevin Mbabu, who was really a right back to play left back, and they took advantage of that. Tottenham and Fulham lost that match, and part of it had to do with the fact that Anthony Robinson came out injured. And when he has not been able to play, Fulham are not the same team. That shows me a growth in a player. And I've gone on my show and I done my mea culpa with Jedi and said, you know what? You proved me wrong. He proved me wrong time and time again. He just needs to get that crossing down because his crossing got better as the season went. It's just not at the level that you want from a left back. A modern day left back. You want a good crosser of the ball. He's just not there yet.
Willian staying or is he out?
Interesting one because one day I think he's coming back. Another day I think he's going. I hope he comes back. He is settled in the Fulham area, so I have a feeling he might come back, but Nottingham Forest want him to. So we'll see. I would like him back, but the reports are he was looking for more than 1 year, and I think Fulham have changed their mind on it and might give him a multi-year deal, but I believe he's looking for wages of like £100,000 a week, which is a lot for a 35-year-old player. So
a lot.
I'm not sure. I would like to say yes. I hope he's back because I think that'll help Fulham if he does come. I would welcome him back, but if he doesn't come back, I'm okay with that because I think eventually they need an upgrade at winger.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's funny because Manor Solomon goes to Tottenham and I'm not broken up about it. I'm not really, I mean, unfortunately, like I said, I've watched him over the course of the second half of the season because he got injured in the first half. He scored 5 phenomenal goals, Michael. But teams figured out that just don't let him cut into the right and get that shot off. And when you force him to the left, basically, he became a little bit of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
So for me, if he wants to go to Tottenham, which he went to, best of luck to him. You know, we'll move on because I want Fulham to have a complete winger, and he didn't track back. The thing that made Willian so good is that he tracked back. He went forward and he tracked back. Manor Solomon never did. He really didn't. So for me, best of luck to him, and hopefully Willian does come back, but we'll see.
Yeah. As a Chelsea fan, I was one of those that was ready for Willian to leave, and then his last season, I realized how much he is a vital part of that defense as well. Very good player, and I'm not surprised that he's looking for that kind of money. I feel like he's always been trying to look for that kind of money, but he is. He's very settled in that London, West London area, got a couple restaurants over there. So, interesting one. Thoughts on, before we move it over to the MLS, man, thoughts on Bobby Decadorva-Reed? Is he a core piece for this Fulham team, or is... Sometimes I watch it and I'm just like, I expect more because I think he could be so good. Is he not a big piece for this team for Marco Silva?
What's interesting about Bobby Decadova Reed is the best way I could describe him. He's someone that I gravitate towards. I'll explain why. We had a player years ago called Chris Baird who got the nickname Bairdinho because Chris Baird, his shot at times was insane, but he was just basically a player. If we were looking at baseball terms, a utility player, a player that you could put in several different places and you know that he would get the job done. That's Bobby Decadova Reed. Bobby Decadova Reed is not a master of anything great. He just does everything good. And he is a player. He's a squad player. He's a very good squad player. So I'm glad that he signed, that he was rewarded. He should have been rewarded. I'm glad that they did not move on from him. There are some players that I'm fine with them moving on from him. He wasn't one of them because I think he's a player that if you need someone to fill in, Bobby Decadova Reed is right there.
Russ, again, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on, dude. This has been an awesome talk about Fulham. You think Fulham finished seventh at the end of the day? And again, signings are to come. Russ, a very positive man here, thinking that Fulham are gonna do some good this year. I did not know about Marco Silva's contract situation. Yep. Can't let him go, right?
Like, no.
Yeah, gotta stay. Gotta stay. Everybody, you know, go check out Russ at Cottage Talk. Go check out the Cottage Talk show on Apple, on all the podcasting platforms. This is going to be an interesting season for Fulham. Let's move over to the MLS, man. I found out in talking that you were you're a Boston guy, a Revs guy.
Yep.
How, you know, I came into the MLS just this season. It's always been something I try to pay attention to, but the moment Chelsea season's over, that was kind of it for me. I've gotten into the MLS this year, and I've absolutely loved New England, and I came into it thinking I was going to hate New England. Because a couple years ago, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, 2018, 2019,
I remember.
had a friendly over in Boston, and it destroyed this guy's career at the time. We'll talk about the turf in a minute, right? Because I feel like you've got quite a bit to say.
Definitely have a lot to say about that.
you saw from the games last night. You know, we're recording this on a Sunday. You saw from the DC and New England games last night. There's so many guys getting injured on this damn turf. But what are your thoughts on New England, man, and how this team is going this year? I love this Carlos Gil guy. And this Petrovic kid in goal is actual top quality. He's a very good. I've been very surprised. Yeah. What are your thoughts on your team?
I've actually been very impressed with the direction the New England Revolution have gone. And what's interesting, last year they had to sell several players. They sold several players. I wouldn't say had to, but they have become the first time I can remember the New England Revolution really becoming a selling club because their players have been so good they're actually selling. And in a way, I understand that because it's actually a compliment that the New England Revolution now can sell players. And they sold more than a few players. They sold Matt Turner. There have been some other players as well, that Adam Buxa, that went. The problem was last season, they did not get the players probably when they really needed them to gel quickly enough for the season to basically repeat. Now they're able to kind of repeat what they did two seasons ago, even though they are, I believe, second, which is great. They have really taken what they did two seasons ago. I actually think that they're better than the team that won won that Supporters Shield. Yeah. And what's great about it, and I'm glad that you brought up Petrovic, is that when Matt Turner left, and I got some thoughts of, I think Matt Turner, sorry, I think he made a mistake going to Arsenal. You're never going to play,
agree.
But okay, fine. You get to say you play for Arsenal. That's great.
I agree.
But Georgi Petrovic, and I actually work with someone that used to work for the Revolution. It's funny.
Really?
And he told me that, around people talking around the Revolution, they think Petrovic is the better goalkeeper than Matt Turner. And Petrovic, I would have to agree with that.
Same.
The goalkeeper coach is exceptional with the New England Revolution. And he has basically really taken Matt Turner to the next level, and now Petrovic. Petrovic could play for a Premier League side right now.
For sure.
I'm convinced of that. So he is just been massive. The amount of saves that he's making is just incredible. The only thing about him is that his distribution isn't the greatest, but he's a shot stopper, man. He's an incredible shot stopper. So that's been great. But the key to the Revolution, as you just mentioned, is Carlos Gil. Carlos Gil is a player that I am so glad left Aston Villa years ago. And yeah. I was joking with someone about that. I said, I'm very thankful that things didn't work out there. Then he went to another side and then ended up with the Revs. And he is just a joy to watch, Michael, just a pure joy to watch. And what's interesting about when he can control a game, when he has the ball at his feet, is like magic. You know, yep. It's funny. We're going to talk about Messi coming up. Mm-hmm. And that's a different level of magic, but Carlos Hill is giving his own magic, and it makes the experience of watching the Revs so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because you know you're seeing something that's on a different level. He's on a completely different level. And, you know, it's funny. They actually made a signing of a former DC United player. Ian Harkes comes back mm-hmm. from Dundee United, and I got mm-hmm. all this hate from Dundee United supporters telling me how bad he is. And I don't know, the last two matches I've seen, he's played fantastic.
You ain't kidding. Yeah.
He's been great. He scored two goals last night. Yeah. And then on top of it, he's slotted in with Matt Polster to allow Carlos Hill do his thing. So it's with the three of them, the two of them really set up Hill to just do what he does best, control the game. And yeah, it's been so much fun to watch. I've just enjoyed this. I've enjoyed watching MLS grow, Kevin. Michael, because I said 10 years ago, every year it gets a little bit better.
Yep.
Just gets a little bit better. People ask me, well, is it the championship level in England? I said, I don't think it's still the championship level from 1 to 24. I don't think it's that.
Yeah.
I think there are many MLS sides that could contend in the championship in England. I believe that. But it continues to get better. It's actually, the style of play is so much better than it was if I go back 10 years. And I think Messi coming just puts more eyeballs on it. But the product, I think, has taken a huge leap this season. And I will just recommend, I know people are going to like say, why am I recommending this? But I got Apple TV Plus. I was hesitant to do it because I'm like, why am I going to be paying for another streaming service?
Yeah,
but I decided to do it, and I got to tell you, man, it's a first-rate quality service. I was shocked at the quality of Apple TV Plus.
Absolutely,
and I've enjoyed it. And I would recommend, if you're thinking about it and thinking it's a waste of money, I'm telling you, it will not be a waste of your money. It's a great product. So many great people in their studio, fantastic. The announcers are great. I get to see Taylor Twellman again. It's great.
Yeah, no, I couldn't, man. The Apple TV thing, I was one of them that was, man, I do not want to pay for another streaming service. I do not want to pay $100 to get this thing. And it is well worth every penny of the money that you're going to spend. I think it's a little bit cheaper now because we're, you know, over halfway through the season. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, man. And especially, I'm one of those Americans that hates the Boston title town. I don't root for you guys at all. I got too many titles going on up there, especially as a Detroit fan. But For every week, man, I keep going back to New England because they're just so much fun to watch. And this Carlos Hill is such a fun player. You brought up Messi. You know what? This is David Beckham has changed. Taylor Swellman actually said this on the show on Apple TV last night, was that David Beckham has changed the trajectory of the league twice now. When he came the first time when there was only 12 teams, and now he's got Messi to come to Miami. This Messi to Miami thing, we have got to take advantage of this in a way that the French league did not, right?
Right. This is absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's funny because Beckham changed MLS. Messi's going to change it probably tenfold from what mm-hmm. Beckham did.
Yeah.
Forget about all the eyeballs on it. It's the acceptance of the footballing world around the world. Yes, everyone's going to be watching, but I think it's going to showcase how far MLS has come. And I'm so happy that he's here. I'm happy that Busquets came.
Yeah.
Everyone else that has come. I'm not a fan of Inter Miami, but I'll be watching. Why am I going to be watching?
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. And I think it's great because I fight it here, Michael. I don't know how it is where you are, but there is an old school feeling here of the Boston media to basically just shove their noses down of, I call football. I don't call it soccer. I call it football.
Yeah.
And they are still to this day really doing it. And it's too bad. I think they're going to be forced to with Messi, yep. because I think this just takes it to the point where even they're going to have to watch it. They're going to have to check it out.
There is Richmond has a USL team that is fairly popular here. The Kickers are. So it's yep. if you're part of the media, I firmly believe if you're a part of the North American media that is not going to get on this soccer train, football train, you are going to get left behind so bad in such a bad way in the next 2 years because Messi coming here, yep. I think this could really, and I think you see it the way that Apple TV and the MLS have just boosted the viewing portion of this. Games look so good. Right. It's so interesting to watch now. I think they're going to take full advantage of this. What they haven't taken advantage of is why we're still playing on turf. Why are there multiple teams still playing on the worst kind of field possible for this?
I think it comes down to money. If you're asking me, I talk to many people about this, especially with the Revolution, and they believe that, and I've been told this, that there's a possibility it might change with the Revs. Well, if they get their own stadium, then it definitely is going to change with the Revs. But when the World Cup comes here, they're going to have to put in grass. They're going to have to. And I'm hoping that it stays. But I think part of it has to do with the Patriots. That the Patriots wanted turf because it goes back, believe it or not, to like 2006, a Patriots game that was a mess with the with the grass that they just decided to, the very next day, they put in turf. It was that quick. They said, we had enough with the grass. We're going to put in turf. And it has really become like the turf monster. It's horrible. It's horrible to watch. Mm-hmm. And I keep talking about it all the time. The injuries are terrible, but the style of play on turf is horrible in itself.
Yeah,
I think the Revolution, I've told this to people, I said I prefer watching the Revolution when they're on the road because I like watching them play on grass. And I think they're a better grass team than they are a turf team. Yeah. And then the argument is, well, the Revs know how to play on turf. I said, but that doesn't make it right. That doesn't exactly. make it enjoyable. But the injuries are a big part of it. I just think at some point, MLS and Don Garber have to just come out and say, listen, no more turf. No more turf. Even Atlanta, I know there are a few that are indoors. They have to figure it out.
Yeah.
They have to figure it out. At some point, you got to rip up the turf.
Got to. I could not agree more. And again, a lot of Chelsea fans will echo my sentiment there because it's just it absolutely broke me when Ruben went down with that injury. Let me ask you this, man. The in terms of this MLS growth, do we think that this is a couple years behind? Do we think that we are Leagues Cup coming in, we'll have more eyeballs on this on our teams. Messi coming in. Do you think that we're a couple years behind becoming a top league in the world? And then on the piggyback of that, World Cup coming. Do you think this is going to skyrocket us to be able to showcase what we have here?
I would hope so, Michael. I don't know if we're going to be a top league yet. I think I'll put it on this. I think the World Cup will help. Can they be a top league like the top leagues in Europe? I don't think that they're going to be in the next 5 years. Maybe in 10 years, they could be on the same plane as maybe Ligue 1 in France. Yeah, maybe on that level. And then we'll see from there. But it's on that path. It absolutely is on that path. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's just that they've got the history on their side. It's just you're going to have to be patient to get to that level because the best players are still in Europe, and you're going to get more of them, but we need more homegrown players too. And it gets better every year. It gets a little bit better. Will it be like a top league in Europe? I don't know if it'll be like one of the top five, but it could be getting close to that.
Are you on the promotion relegation train, or do you think it needs to stay how it is?
It's a great question. I get asked that a lot, and I'm on the plane that the only thing I would do is split MLS up into two. That's what I would do, but you probably won't see that. I don't think it's going to happen. I personally enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it, but I just don't think you're going to see it in our lifetime. I don't think, I understand the argument for it, especially with USL. Can they make an agreement? But I think there's too much money involved with the MLS teams now that they would allow it to happen. That kind of like merger to turn it into promotion relegation. I think it would be fantastic for the fan. I just don't think MLS is going to allow it to happen.
I agree. I was on it for a very long time, and then the USL is kind of, if you haven't read the reports, and all the listeners, the USL is thinking about doing promotion relegation. When I got in this year, I jumped on the, because Detroit doesn't have a team, I jumped on the St. Louis bandwagon there. Hilariously, I had no idea they were going to be this good. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it's funny because when I found out that they had the amount of money they had to put down up front to just join the league, I was like, oh, they're never going to agree. The only way that they make a promotion relegation is if the owners agree. That's never, ever, ever going to happen. Russ, I've enjoyed this conversation, man. Fulham and New England, I've enjoyed the talk, man. I can't, hopefully middle of the season, if Fulham are doing well, if they're doing bad, I can have you back on and we can talk. What do you got coming up, man? Anything big?
Well, I'm actually going to be driving from where I live here. I live about 10 minutes away from Gillette Stadium, and I'm going to be driving to Philadelphia on Saturday for the match on Sunday, which is Fulham playing Brentford. So I'm going to be there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. The day before, I'm going to be on another podcast, another Fulham podcast called Fulhamish. They're doing a show at Milk Boy Philly, a bar in Philly, a live show. I'm going to be there for that. And then the next day, I got the Fulham match. So I'm excited. I'm really excited for it. It should be a lot of fun. I'm taking my son. He's never been to a full match, so it should be a lot of fun.
How old is your son?
He's 15.
There you go. That's awesome. That's around the time that I got into it as well. That's awesome, man. Is he a Fulham fan or did he go a different route?
He's not a fan of the sport, so this is going to be interesting. He really is just not a fan. So hopefully getting him at Lincoln Financial Field, he feels what it's really about. So that's my hope.
That's right. That's right. Go check out, like I said, go check out Russ and all he's got going on over at Cottage Talk. Go check out Fulhamish Show. Go see their live stream that Russ will be a part of. Last question before I let you go, man. Did Tom Brady deflate those balls? What was that whole thing about, man?
I'll tell you a funny story. I was at the game.
Oh, you really?
I was actually at the game. True story, at the game. Yeah. And I remember turning to my wife and looking at her, and I said, it was the AFC Championship game. And it was just as the second half was beginning. I'm like, what are all the officials doing huddling around the balls? Why hasn't the second half started? And that turned out to be Deflategate.
Wow.
So if you're asking me, I hate Deflategate.
Yeah.
I don't think he had anything to do with it. But you know what? That's just my take.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. Love it. The rest of America disagrees with Russ.
I know. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Russ, man, I've appreciated it so much, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Hope that Fulham do well this year, and we'll definitely check back in middle of the season, man.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me on, and I'm happy to come on anytime.
Appreciate it, man.